A wise miner works to extract the largest amount of gold from the ore as possible. And the farmer and the miner, they don't ever really forget what motivates all their hard work. Does not his sweat always anticipate the joy of the harvest? And so when we as a church gather for the preaching of God's word, is there also not a life-altering harvest intended? There is when we gather together. We are gathering together to hear the word of God preached each week. And so Isaiah 55:11 kind of reminds us that when God's word goes out, there is an intended result. There is an intended harvest. So shall my word, says Isaiah, be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You know, the chief end of our gathering each week in church, and now that we're coming back to church, maybe this is a good time to begin thinking about how is it that we do come to church. You know, our chief end in gathering is the hope of meeting with God. Do we realize that? The chief end is to meet with God by the power of the Holy Spirit through the instrument of preaching. You know, the Holy Spirit, he still takes the word of the Lord and he causes life to enter into a dead soul. He still brings new birth. The Holy Spirit still uses the word of the Lord as his prominent means to further the growth of those already alive in Christ. And so we want to thank God for the church who expects to meet God on Sunday morning. We want to thank God for the church where the Holy Spirit is not grieved and is not able to move freely, who is able to move freely and bring life and growth to those who are gathered. We want to thank God for the church that believes that the word of the Lord is precious in these days. We want to thank God for the church that does not make trivial the word of God through unbelief and ungodly living. Thank God for the church member that prepares for and anticipates the harvest that is ready to be given by the Holy Spirit when the word of God is preached. The problem is, I fear that too many, in far too many locations where people gather for church, preparation to meet the Lord of the harvest is in sore need of restoration. Preparation is necessary. And our text this morning is going to challenge us in that. It's going to challenge us on this issue of our coming to church. So that kind of shows you the outline here. The text we have today is still in the book of James. It's James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Which says this, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So yes, if you turn to those scriptures, we'll be able to refer to those as we go along. The first thing we want to look at this morning is, what do I do in preparation before a sermon? And the verse lays it out for us. It says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Secondly, we want to look at how do we handle ourselves during the sermon. We receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And thirdly, we're going to look at a guiding principle for after the sermon. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So, the truth is that there is some form of preparation for almost everything that we do. And this is accepted and it's very practical. And most people accept the fact that preparation is necessary for almost everything that we do. In fact, there are visible signs all over the room right now this morning of preparation here today. Outward signs of dress and cleanliness. You know, when we come together with and meet with others, we want to be seen as well. You know, we want to be seen as being taking, you know, as being respectful. as preparing ourselves, you know, through dress and through cleanliness. And so, and this is recognized and appreciated in cultures, of course, all over the world. It's just when we gather together, we prepare in certain ways and in certain forms. And this is not not unusual at all. And so I thank you for taking a shower this morning. You know, thanks for doing that. That's it's appreciated in by all of us. But this when we gather for church, God appreciates something different. God's advice to us is cleanse your hearts rather than your garments. You know, and God just, this is just who he is. He looks at the heart of the matter, right? Doesn't look at our outer garments, even though we do, and we should, by the way. But in 1 Samuel 16:7, God had to remind Samuel. He says, "Do not look at Eliab's appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Solomon warns us to guard our steps as we go to the house of the Lord in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Moses, the man of God, he stood on holy ground, but he was warned to put off his shoes from his feet when God only revealed himself at that time in a bush. But when we come as New Testament believers to church, we come as God is revealing himself through his dear son, Jesus Christ. How should we prepare ourselves in that case? Imagine, if you will, if you received an invite to the following event. This is Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, if you want to turn to that. Imagine if you were invited to this event. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever.'" Now, you are not going to just casually walk in half asleep to a scene like this. You are not going to walk into a scene like this with your mind in a swarm of idle thoughts and your heart crammed full with the trivial pursuits from the night before. You would come prepared to an event like this. Now, granted, our scene this morning in the Comfort Inn, it is not like the scene that we just read about. I get that. But the one that we've come to hear, the one whose words that you have come to hear preached, is the same one in that scene. The one that liveth forever and ever. You know, preparation, I think, is begun. Preparation, the ball gets rolling in our preparation. Before a sermon, when we realize who it is that we are coming to meet, who it is that we are coming to hear from. Preparation is necessary. Matthew 22:11-12 says, "But when the king came to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the wedding robe," which, by the way, were provided. "Friend," he asked, "how does it happen that you are here without a wedding robe?" And the man was speechless. He was totally unprepared. And the king said to his aides, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." if he was condemned for coming to the wedding feast not having on a wedding garment, what shall we say of those who habitually come to the meeting place where God's word is being preached with no preparation, no tended heart, he being unexamined and unrepentant and unwashed in heart? What shall we say to the one that comes to the church service unprepared? Well, preparation is necessary, and this is where James steps in. Therefore, James says, let us lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now, we need to emphasize the word all for a moment. Lay aside all. All sin of every kind is filthiness. Now, it does not dawn on the majority of men that this is so. Many view sin almost as a right, a pleasure owed them. They use sin to promote their self-confidence. They put up a false appearance. They tell exaggerations. They tell lies so that they can promote themselves. This is sin. At times, sin even becomes a subject of bragging. They wear it as a badge of self-autonomy. I can and will do my own thing. I'm not hurting anyone. You know what the problem with that little statement is? Did anyone ever ask the other person if they're hurting or not? Seems like that person's never asked. I'm not hurting anybody. Yeah, have you asked? I think they would get an answer that's surprising to them. The point with this is that sin in the thoughts is filthiness of the thoughts. Sin in words is filthiness in speech. Sin in action is filthiness of life. All sin is filthiness. This is something that we should have begun. I'll say that differently. This is something that we did begin to learn almost immediately when we were born again. All of a sudden, we recognized what is sin. This is sin. That is sin. I never knew sin before, but now I have a new nature within me and I can distinguish this and that. We don't learn it all at once, but we begin to understand what sin is and that it is filthiness in the life. You know, if we were altogether separated from temptation and defilement in the world, we would not have to speak about preparation before hearing the word of God. But sadly, this is not so, because we are men of unclean lips and we dwell among a people with unclean lips. We have not yet come into the holy country where everyone we meet is either a saint or an angel. And because sin dwells in us and all around us, we do have the need to examine our thoughts and examine our words and examine our actions often, daily, sometimes more than daily, but hourly. We must confess. We must repent. We must wash ourselves in the waters of repentance and forgiveness. This is the preparation needed. This is what we must do in order to humbly receive the word implanted when we come to preaching. But you know, often there is no thought given to the inconsistency of the behaviors on Saturday night and the behaviors on Sunday morning. We just don't prepare. We just don't see the inconsistency like we should. And so in the judgment of the Spirit of God, who is here speaking through his servant James, he's saying every sin and all sin is filthiness. You are meeting with God today. So James says, lay sin aside. You are hearing the words of God today. Lay aside all filthiness. And do not set it down carefully, says James. That's not even close to what the meaning is here. But he's saying, throw it away. Throw it off. Be done with it. Throw and go. Move quickly away from it. It is hindering and defiling your every move. Lay it aside and be free of it. This is the idea. Get rid of it. Now, this would be a hopeless call if we had not a new life in Christ. But this is what every believer possesses. They do possess a new life in Christ. And so there is hope in laying aside the sin. But has sin tempted you into thinking that you can't be free from it? Is there a habitual sin that is saying to you, you can't be free from me, you're just stuck with me for the rest of your life? And so you believe that, you drag it around each day, letting it defile you a little more and a little more. Well, the Holy Spirit indwells you, believer. The Holy Spirit has the rights to your life and to your mind and to your heart. You are not the enemies anymore. You belong to God. And so this sin can be laid aside through His power and through His grace. And so yield to the Holy Spirit. It's in His power that you can lay aside sin and look forward then to Christ and no longer have to look back at that sin that has plagued you over and over and over again. Preparation is necessary. The preparation is this reality of addressing the sin that is in your life and calling it for what it is. Letting God convict you. Letting God show you what it is. And yes, be ashamed of it, but then lay it aside and be rid of it. Not keep it. This is part of preparation. But before we move on from this point, So that's what we're doing before the sermon. Before we move on to during the sermon, there's a little lesson here in the same verse. So we're going to talk about that. There's a command here, lay aside all filthiness, but there's also a warning. Those are different. He's saying first to the Christian, here's the command. Christian, lay aside sin. Christian, receive with meekness the word implanted. Christian, this word received will save your soul. But the antithesis of this, Daniel has these vocabulary words and I had to get one of them in the sermon today, and that's the word. The antithesis of this, the opposite of this statement is, Christian, if I don't lay aside filthiness, Christian, if you don't receive with meekness the word implanted, Christian, you won't have a saved soul. This is a warning. Warnings in the Bible are one of the ways to keep God's people safe and preserve them to the end. Warnings are one of the instruments used to strengthen our assurance of salvation and to prevent false assurance of faith. People who think that they are on the way to heaven and don't hate their sin and do nothing to fight it are deluded. Remember last week we mentioned Jeremiah 17:9, which says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, one of the heart's most clever and sneaky deceptions is when we say something like this, I don't need any threats from that preacher. We don't need to listen to any warnings about a holy life. We don't need to listen to warnings about living a moral life. Someone who speaks like that or thinks like that is giving evidence that they don't know their Bible. They are giving evidence that they may not be born of God and possessing His nature. These people should not have assurance of salvation. They should always be in question about their eternal security. They should not have the confidence of faith of being a child of God because they're not pursuing Him. God has warned them and they're ignoring the warning. You see, a child of God doesn't do that. Born again people camp on the warnings of God. They seek to know and understand where the warning applies to their day-to-day choices. Warnings to the Christian from the Word of God are life-giving. Warnings are a life-saving litmus test to help us and direct us on our way. When we listen to the warnings and turn to Christ for forgiveness and freedom, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Only children of God fight sin. Only children of God grab on to the warnings of God and say, "Yes, God, I will follow you. Thank you for the warning." Listen to Romans 8, 14 and 15. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba and Father." When we respond well to the warnings, we are then fighting the good fight of faith. We are then assured that we are walking with Christian in Pilgrim's Progress on the way to the celestial city. Listen to some of the warnings here in Scripture. Romans 8:13, the verses right before what I just read. "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Romans 11:21 says, "Do not be proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." Hebrews 12:14, "Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Matthew 5:29, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." These are warnings that the preacher should give the congregation. Here are warnings that your Bible study group should talk about and wrestle with. "For it is he and she who follows these warnings and heeds these warnings, they are the ones that have the confidence of heaven. Do you want assurance of salvation? Then observe how it is that you handle the warnings. Look for the warnings. Search for the warnings. Heed the warnings. Thank God for the warnings." James says, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." There is a command and there is a warning. Your soul is dependent. The condition of your soul is dependent upon what you do with that warning. So, and this is all related to preparation. Preparation is necessary. How are you handling the sin in your life? How are you handling the warnings of God that awaken us out of our slumber sometimes as regarding sin? Preparation is necessary. So next, how to handle ourselves during the sermon. And we'll just be moving on through here quickly. James tells us to receive with meekness the implanted word. That's how it comes in my translation. So I came across Spurgeon. He says this much better than I, so I'm just going to read a quote from him as he talks about the word receive. He says, "This word receive is very instructive. Is a very instructive gospel word. It is the door through which God's grace enters to us. We are not saved by working, but by receiving. Not by what we give to God, but by what God gives to us and we receive from him. In hearing of the word of God, there should be a receiving of it, not into the ear only, but into the understanding, into the heart, into the conscience, together with a laying up of this good treasure in the memory and the affections. Ye must receive the word, or it cannot bless you." I like that right at the end there he says, "together with a laying up of this good treasure in the memory and the affections." He's talking about attention there. He's talking about focus, and he's talking about, I am so impacted emotionally by the word of God this morning, it is going to become a part of me. I received his word. It changed me. I'm going to be different as a result of this. I'm going to stick with it. And on it goes. So this whole idea of receiving is so critical. But that's critical. So hold on to that. But it says receive with meekness. Another word is receive with humility. But there's another thought here that might be more helpful. Receive the word being teachable. Come to the house of the Lord to hear the preaching and be teachable while you're here. This is the meekness and humility that God is after, that you are teachable. I can speak and you can hear and you will be changed according to His will, according to my will, says the Lord. Webster defines teachable or teachableness as just a willingness or a readiness to be informed and instructed. And here's the beauty of preparation. You know, realized what preparation does is it develops our willingness to be teachable. If you're confessing your sins and you're looking into God's word for His promises, if you're looking into God's warning and making sure that these things are not occurring in your life and you're doing the best you can to live according to God's word, you're already being teachable before you arrive. And then you come to God's word, and the man of God who has prepared the sermon, God works through that person, and you are teachable as you hear. You're not sleeping, you're not daydreaming, you're not thinking about whatever is next. You're teachable. If you have prepared your heart, if you have obeyed God's holy warnings, if you have confessed and repented of sin, you are prepared. You are ready, and more importantly, you are willing to be instructed by the word of faith and by the word of life. Hosea 10:12 kind of is a summary of this, or it paints a picture of this. Hosea 10:12 says this: "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness upon you." You know, the analogy is clear. It kind of goes back to the hard ground in Barnum. Unplowed ground is not capable of receiving seed or even water. Come out to my yard. I can spray this spot and the water just stands up on it. It just rolls off in little balls of dust. It doesn't absorb. It just stays on top because the ground is so hard. It is unplowed. It doesn't receive water. It doesn't receive the seed. Therefore, it is not usable. And it does not ever produce a harvest. Therefore, it must be prepared. It must be made willing to receive the seed. So how does that happen? We break up hard, unplowed ground. You know, the scripture says that our heart can be hardened. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So this breaking up of the unplowed ground of our heart is a daily need. It's a daily preparation before we go out into the day. And certainly, it is a preparation that we must do before we come to the house of the Lord and to hear the preaching of God's word. These are warnings. Unplowed ground is useless. There's no harvest. And your heart is possibly in that condition. But it doesn't need to remain that way, of course. So heeding the warnings of the Lord, understanding more the sinfulness of your heart, responding to His love and conviction, confessing and repenting sin, these preparations, they are the things that break up the hard soil and tills and conditions the hearts to receive the implanted word of God, to receive the life-giving seed, that a harvest may result in your life. It's, you know, 52 times a year as you come to church, there is a harvest prepared. Have you taken advantage of that? Preparation is necessary. Just finally here, for the sake of this sermon and this verse in Hosea, we might say it this way: break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to go to church at the Comfort Inn. Thank God for the church member that prepares for and anticipates the harvest prepared by the Holy Spirit at the preaching of God's word. Thank God for that church member who prepares. Last thing, after the sermon, what do we do? James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, there's an old story of Donald and Sally. Donald came out of the church sooner than usual. And Sandy said to him, "What, Donald? Is the sermon all done?" "No," said Donald. "It is all said, but it is not yet begun to be done." You know, I've tried to establish that preparation of the heart is necessary to receive the implanted word, but necessary for what? What are we ultimately preparing for? We have said to meet God. Yes, that's true, but the preparation for hearing the word of God is first. It is preliminary. You know, and James here, what he's telling us by being doers of the word, he's telling us that doing is far better than hearing. But we struggle sometimes just getting to the hearing point. So we got to get before the sermon preparation done, so that when we are at the sermon, we can hear and the word of God is implanted. But after the sermon is where the good stuff really begins. It is after the sermon the harvest comes. Doing is far better than hearing. Yes, the word implanted, to borrow a popular word these days, is essential. The word of God must be implanted. But what still remains? The seed. The seed implanted, the seed has life in it. That's its nature. That little funny thing, it is so packed full of life. And it must and will follow its course that God has given it. It will result in a harvest if it finds the prepared soil. We prepare so that there can be a harvest. Doing the word is the start of the harvest. The harvest begins as doing begins. The harvest continues as doing continues. And look what happens. The cycle has begun. The cycle repeats itself. There's preparation, confession, and repentance. There's heeding of the warnings of God. That's the preparation. Then there's the coming to the church so that we hear the word of God preached. God's intended method of instructing his family, the preaching of God's word and the reading of God's word. So we prepare, and then we hear, and then the word is implanted, and then we do, and then there's the harvest. And all of this is superintended by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of Christ and to the glory of his Father. Preparation is necessary. But the harvest is the goal. So, the end here of the verse. We got to come to this negative part again. The harvest was, harvest, we got it, it's a harvest. But look what it says. Not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. A warning. All of this could be for nothing. We've got to take heed of all of what has been said today. Yes, there is preparation, but in all of it, we have to recognize that even then, we can be deceived if there is no doing. So, what about this part of deceiving ourselves? This is very bad. To be deceived is bad. To deceive yourselves is worse. To deceive yourself about your soul is worst of all. And alas, there are so many in this condition. Remember the warnings of God, realizing that how you respond to them is really helpful in determining your level of deception. Your response to the Word of God will either be you find yourself nudging even closer and even tighter against the Father's breast, realizing that because of all your failures, that it's only His strength and only in His love that you have any hope of courage and obedience to actually do what He says. In other words, you turn to Him when you realize that you're not doing what He should do, and you go closer to Him. And then you find that through His work and through the faith that you have been given to you in Him, then you have the hope and courage and obedience to do what He actually says. So you grow closer in your relationship to Him, because we're fearful of this deception thing. Your response will either be that, or your response will be, yeah, you know, I see that problem, but, you know, I'm really not going to worry about it right now. I'll get around to working on it. And you know what? Hey, thanks for that. Good reminder. Thanks, Pastor, for the sermon. We'll see you next Sunday. And then the very first ding on your phone, or the very first ding out there in the world, calls you to the gain and excitement of the world. And you have lost all of the planting. You've lost the implanted word. Satan has come along and he's snatched the seed out of that ground. And James says, don't deceive yourselves. You can hear all you want, but if you never yearn and strive to do, there is deception. We have to wrestle with that. We have to be honest with that. So friend, in that context, why risk eternity in hell just because you want to do life your way? Why treasure an attitude that encourages the creature to challenge his creator and say, why did you make me this way? Don't be deceived. Hear the word of God. Prepare yourself to hear the word of God. Hear it for the purpose of doing it. It's the harvest that we're after. What the harvest is not your concern. It's God's concern. If your harvest is just simply someone saying thank you for picking up a piece of trash, then maybe that's all that it is. If the harvest is Levi's relative being born again, then that's the harvest. The harvest is the Lord's job. Your job is to be an available instrument. Your job is to do the implanted word, whatever God's message is to you. Prepare your heart. Let the seed come in. Do the word. Don't be deceived. The whole process is one. And we have to handle and work with that process from beginning to end, from preparation to harvest. Any stoppage in the middle is opportunity for growth, but be warned of the deception. So many people are. Coming to church is what most of us think is all that God wants. That's not what He wants. He wants us. He wants to be in union with us. Him working, using us. Yes, God is in control of all of this. But we are the instruments that He uses. God is a God of instrumentality. All of creation is His symphony. And we get to be His chosen instruments. We must be used by Him. Do the Word of God as it is implanted. So there is a better way. And this is the last sentence. There is a better way. The Holy Spirit had James say it this way. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word. Thank God for the church that believes that the word of the Lord is precious in these days.